Good to be here, and thank you, Alistair, for the opportunity to speak again here at OIC. This morning, I'd like to speak on a topic that I believe is extremely important. And what the topic we're going to consider this morning boils down to, in my opinion, is this: are we allowing the opinions of fallible men, most of whom are unbelievers, to mold and shape what we believe as Christians regarding the meaning and teachings of God's Word? And I'd like to begin by reading a verse from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the famous chapter on faith. Verse 3 says this: "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And the question every person who claims to be a Christian needs to ask himself or herself is this: do I really believe this? Did God create the universe, our planet, and us, as the Bible says he did, in both the Old and New Testaments? Or is the universe the result of the so-called Big Bang about 13.7 billion years ago? Is our planet really 4.2 billion years old? Or is it closer to 10,000 years old? And as some of you might be thinking right now, is it even important whether evolution is true or not? Many Christians think, well, who cares if the earth is billions of years old or thousands of years old, as long as I trust in Jesus Christ? I believe it's very important, both theologically and in regard to how our position on this issue could impact our faith and our view of the Bible. Ken Ham, founder of the creation science organization Answers in Genesis, said it well. He said, "The point we need to understand is the gospel comes from this book called the Bible. And if generations of people have been led to believe they can't really trust the Bible, or led to doubt that you can trust its authority or doubt its history, eventually they will reject the Bible and they won't listen to the gospel." Christians, both nominal Christians as well as deeply committed Christians, believe a wide variety of things regarding the origin of the universe and the planet on which we live. Some Christians believe the exact same thing that most atheists believe, namely that our planet and all the life forms on it are the result of billions of years of blind chance, just as Charles Darwin theorized. In other words, God created life on Earth using evolution, meaning that every person who has ever lived is descended from the apes. And apes evolved from so-called simple celled organisms over billions of years. And there are some Christians, in order to go along with the 4-billion-year-old Earth theory, believe that God helped evolution along from time to time. And then he created human beings billions of years after evolution led to so-called pre-humans who didn't have a soul, such as Australopithecus or Homo erectus or Neanderthal man. And there are other Christians, for the same reason, who believe that God created the world just as it says in Genesis 1:1, but then some catastrophic event destroyed all of it, and then after a gap of 4 billion years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:3, God created the present world's flora and fauna in those 6 literal days. And then still there are some Christians who take a 100% literal reading and interpretation of Genesis chapter 1 as the basis of their beliefs, namely that the planet on which we live and all of the life forms on this planet were created in 6 literal 24-hour days, just as it says in Genesis. Now, I'm fully aware that this topic is much too vast to cover in just one message, but it's my prayer that God will use this one short message to encourage those of you who take the Bible literally. And it's also my prayer that those who accept the opinions of scientists as truth will at least consider the evidence that supports a literal interpretation of Genesis. But please let me state here at the start, I'm not saying you have to believe a literal interpretation of Genesis 1 through 11 in order to be saved. However, I will say that if a Christian feels that it's okay to reject the literal reading of Scripture if it doesn't line up with what the world says, that Christian is surely on very shaky ground. Of course, there are allegorical passages in the Bible, but Genesis is not one of them. There is absolutely no doubt that Moses wrote Genesis as a historical record. And I'd like to consider this issue now from two points, viewpoints, scientific and theological. Now, as I stated earlier, most evolutionists teach that the Earth is over 4 billion years old. And they teach that all the life forms on Earth today, including man, evolved during those 4 billion years from single-celled organisms. Therefore, evolutionists do not believe the Earth was created by an omnipotent God, but rather it is the result of chance and nothing more. Christians who believe in evolution believe in God, but they also believe He created the universe using the Big Bang. And they believe that evolution, as taught in schools all over the world today, is the means that God used to create life on Earth. Please remember, though, that evolution is nothing more than a theory, no matter what the scientists may say. It cannot be replicated, and it cannot be proven using scientific methodology. For this reason, despite what scientists and teachers say, there is no scientific proof that what evolutionists say took place hundreds of millions of years ago is true. There are only explanations about what might have happened. Of course, those who believe that God created the universe, our world, in 6 literal days also are unable to replicate that. We can't prove that by the scientific method either. We can look at the evidence and the facts that are available to us, for example, in the book that, or books that are out on the table that you're free to take home. We can find lots of evidence that seems very clearly to support creation or to show that evolution is not true, but in the end, it comes down to faith. Now, this is one point that evolutionists often bring up. They claim that evolution is science and the belief in creation is faith and not science. But after studying evolution and creation science for over 30 years, I can say without the slightest hesitation that evolutionists need a tremendous amount of faith to believe that evolution is true. In fact, I believe they need much more faith to believe in evolution than creationists need to believe a literal interpretation of Genesis. So, in the time we have, let's look at just a few of the reasons that millions of Christians, including thousands of scientists, let's look at some reasons why Christians choose to believe the biblical account instead of evolution. I think one reason biblical creation is so hard for people to accept is that we believe, or tend to believe, that the age of the earth is so, you know, the earth is so old because of what we've been taught, what we hear constantly about the age of the earth. Scientists tell us the earth is more than 4 billion years old. And they need to say this because they readily admit that evolution requires this much time to actually lead to the development of all the life forms that we have. There must be 4 billion years. Evolutionists will admit that. And so it's of central importance then for us to ascertain whether or not it's possible for the Earth to be as old as scientists claim, and also to consider, how did they come up with this age, this 4.2 billion years? It's a huge number, so how did they come up with this huge number as they date the rocks and the fossils and other ancient things? I believe that if it can be shown that the Earth is younger than 4 billion years old, or that the dating methods used by scientists aren't reliable, the theory of evolution will fall by the wayside. Now, we often hear scientists talk about various dating methods, such as carbon-14 or potassium-argon dating. And we don't have time to go into the science behind these methods, but I want to discuss how inaccurate these methods actually are. Scientists often use potassium-argon dating to date the age of rocks. This process requires measuring the ratio of radioactive argon to radioactive potassium that is found in the rock. And then they use the decay rates of this radioactive potassium and radioactive argon to come up with an age for the rock. The scientists want people to believe that this method of dating is accurate and reliable. But the facts are different. For example, scientists tested potassium-argon dating on a lava flow that took place in Hawaii in 1800. We know it took place in 1800. They tested the lava flow using potassium-argon, and even though it's less than 200 years old, the tests gave an age between 1 billion and 2.4 billion years. It's only 200 years old. Similar testing on a lava flow in New Zealand gave ages between 145,000 and 465,000 years, even though they knew that lava flow was 1,000 years old. Carbon-14 dating also has many serious problems and often gives dates much older than the known actual age of those objects. Now, scientists tell us that coal is hundreds of millions of years old and that modern humans did not evolve until about 150,000 years ago. But several discoveries during the last 100 years or so make this very hard to believe. For example, in Texas, in 1936, a hammer was found embedded in rock that was supposedly 400 million years old. And in 1944, a 10-year-old boy in West Virginia found this brass bell inside a lump of coal when he dropped it and it broke open. Now, the seam of coal from which this lump of coal was mined was thought to be 300 million years old. Now, clearly then, previously assumed ages of the rocks in which these objects were found is off by hundreds of millions of years. Humans only had the technology to produce iron hammers or brass bells for 5,000 or 6,000 years. How did these things end up in rocks that are hundreds of millions of years old? Well, they didn't end up in rocks that are hundreds of millions of years old. They ended up in rocks that are only thousands of years old, proving the Earth is not 4 billion years old. And since the Earth is not billions of years old, or even millions of years old, evolution cannot be an explanation for the origin of life on Earth. Another problem evolutionists have is the discovery of soft tissue, even blood cells, in dinosaur fossils. According to evolutionists, dinosaurs died out about 65 million years ago. But in 2005, Tyrannosaurus rex bones were found in Wyoming that still contained soft tissue and red blood cells, along with collagen and other proteins. Some of the tissue that they found was still elastic. It stretched. Despite the fact that it was found in rock that was supposed to be 65 million years old. And in China, scientists have recently discovered dozens of fossils that are supposedly 130 million years old with soft tissue as well, including some skin and gills Now, instead of rethinking the age of the Earth, evolutionary scientists scratch their heads and they try to come up with a way to explain how can the tissue still be soft? Wow, 65 million years and it's still soft. How could that be? Instead of rethinking their age of the Earth, they try to come up with ways to explain this 65 million years, which you can't. You cannot have soft tissue and red blood cells after 65 million years. But since it's, can't be proven, the scientists, that creation can't be proven, scientists are just trying to come up with an explanation for this. Now, before looking at what the Bible says about today's topic, I'd like to briefly touch on one more topic out of many more that we could look at. As you know, sedimentary rock is formed by the settling of sediments and mud that forms layers that are eventually compressed and hardened into rock. Many of these layers are said to have formed hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of years after the previous layer. Now, we've already seen the dating of rocks by potassium argon and other methods is unreliable and often off by millions or even billions of years. But there's another problem with the ages assigned to some sedimentary rocks, and that's the fact that fossilized trees have been found all around the world standing vertically through these layers of rock. So before they found these trees, they assumed certain ages, which cannot be true because the trees would have rotted. So these trees are what creationists call polystrate fossils. It's not necessarily an accepted scientific term, but they could not have been standing for hundreds of thousands of years while various layers of sediment gradually settled around them. Now, all the things I just shared about dating methods and objects buried in coal, soft tissue in dinosaurs, polystrate fossils, these are just a few of the scientific reasons why Darwinian evolution cannot be true. We didn't consider the scientific fields of microbiology, of biology, genetics, physics, astronomy, paleontology. All of these things, with an unbiased mind, show that there is a 0% chance of Darwinian evolution taking place. Now, if you're interested in learning more about this very interesting topic, I urge you to buy some of the excellent books on creation science that are available on Amazon. We've got some books out in the lobby, as Alistair said earlier, that you are free to take home. There's also a list, I believe everyone has a list, of recommended books, just a few of the books that are out there that you could read and get a lot more information on the scientific aspect of this topic than I've been able to give this morning. But I'd like to consider now why evolutionary theory is not possible from a biblical standpoint, from a theological standpoint. What does the Bible say about creation? And I'd like to begin with what God himself has said about our world in his word. Genesis 1:1 is one of the most famous verses in the Bible, I believe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at the beginning of the message, we saw Hebrews 11:3, which says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The psalmist declared in Psalm 33, verses 6, 8, and 9, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Well, why are we commanded to stand in awe of the Lord? Because when God commands something to be or to happen, it happens in that instant. not after billions or millions of years, but the moment he commands something to happen. Prophecy is different. When God commands something to happen, it happens. And it's very odd to think that God would say he's going to create the universe and all life, and then 4 billion years later, or 13.7 billion years later, oh, it finally happened. It just is not logical. But back to the biblical aspect. In Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light." And the Bible says, "And there was light." When he said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," there were seas and continents. When he said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness," God created man. Male and female, he created them. When he decided to do it, it happened. Another very important thing to note is this. In Genesis 1, verses 5 through 31, we see this expression, "There was evening and there was morning." One day, the second day, the third day. The Hebrew word used here for day is yom, which in Old Testament is translated as a literal 24-hour day 95% of the time. And there's no doubt that Moses intended the 24-hour meaning because, guided by the Holy Spirit, he wrote, "There was evening and there was morning." So his readers would understand he was talking about a 24-hour day, not billion years. And though some Christians try to make this word day mean periods of time that are millions of years old, it just is not allowed by the text. And the same can be said for these famous words spoken by God in the fourth commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. One day, 24 hours, God created in 6 days. Now, if we say that we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, we must accept that our Creator really did create the world and everything in it. And he created it by speaking it into existence in 6 literal 24-hour days. And one more important thing to consider. If evolution is true, and we actually are descended from single-celled organisms, where did the human soul come from? It certainly did not evolve from soulless amoebas and worms. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that when we die, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Your soul was given to you by your Creator, not as the result of billions of years of evolution. Anyone who truly believes in evolution must deny the existence of the human soul. I'll say it again. Anyone who believes in evolution must deny the existence of the human soul. And I don't know of any Christian who would do that. There are many more passages that we could consider in the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? What did Jesus and the apostles have to say about the Genesis account? When asked by the Pharisees about marriage and divorce, Jesus said this in Mark 10:6. "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." In other words, God did not create mankind billions of years after he began his creation of the universe using the Big Bang. In the beginning, he created man and woman on the last day, the sixth day. And as a slight tangent, many of the Christians who don't believe in six-day creation also have trouble accepting the biblical account of Noah, and that Noah built an ark, and that there was a worldwide flood that destroyed all but Noah and his family. But Jesus made it very clear that the recorded history of Noah, as found in Genesis, and the worldwide flood is 100% factual as written. Jesus validated Genesis 6 through 8 with these words in Luke 17, 26 to 27. He said, "And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So you see, Jesus validated the Genesis accounts of six-day creation, as well as the worldwide flood of Noah's day. That is the flood which caused most of the fossils that we find today to be buried and preserved as they are. It is so important that Christians give priority to God's word and not the opinions of fallible men of science, so-called. Let the scoffers say what they want to. The Bible is God's infallible word, and I pray that everyone here will accept it as such. One criticism of the literal interpretation of Genesis 1, the creation account in Genesis 1, is that if it's accurate, then dinosaurs and humans had to live at the same time. And of course, scientists tell us that dinosaurs died out tens of millions of years before man evolved. But the Bible tells a different story. In Job chapter 40, God describes a dinosaur to Job. A dinosaur that Job has seen and knows. In Genesis 40, verse 15, we read these words. "Look at the behemoth, which I made along with you," meaning Job, "and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength he has in his loins, what power in the muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are close-knit. His bones are tubes of bronze, his limbs like rods of iron. He ranks first among the works of God." Now, almost every English Bible, if it makes a notation in the footnotes or references about what behemoth is, most English Bibles will say that it's either a hippopotamus or an elephant. And for some reason, the two major Japanese translations, they just go right ahead and translate this word behemoth as hippopotamus, even though that's not what's written in the original. But is that translation or interpretation correct? Now, to be sure, a hippo eats vegetation, and it has strong muscles and sturdy leg bones. So does an elephant. But the hippos and elephants have a tail that resembles a cedar tree. And who can say with a straight face that the hippo ranks first among the works of God? He's cute, maybe. Maybe not. But is this the greatest of God's creation and in the animal world? I think not. What was God saying? There is an animal that matches the description of behemoth in every detail, including its tail. And that is a dinosaur. If the creation days in Genesis 1 were truly 24-hour days, which I believe they were, then it's only natural that humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time. And it would explain why we can find drawings and carvings of dinosaurs all over the world. Human beings saw them. It explains why there are so many accounts of people who have reported seeing dinosaurs or dinosaur-like creatures within the last 100 years. And it would explain why there are so many accounts of dragons from all over the world, including some within the last several hundred years. Now, one very important reason why Christians who believe in evolution are not faithful to the Bible has to do with what the Bible teaches about sin and about death. Evolution, with its billions of years of death and mutations, constantly repeated, cannot be true if the Bible is true. Because the Bible says death entered the world when Adam and Eve sinned. God warned Adam in Genesis 2:17, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." But as we all know, Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan and ate from that tree. And Romans 5:12, the Apostle Paul tells us what happened as a result of their sin. "Just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Do you see what Paul said here about sin and death? Death entered the world as a result of Adam's sin. In other words, there was no death prior to Adam's sin. Now remember, Genesis 1:31 says that when God finished all of his creative work on the sixth day, he saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Because scientists have found cancer in dinosaur bones, Christians who believe in evolution must also believe that there were hundreds of millions of years of sickness as well as death before Adam sinned, if Adam did not evolve until after the dinosaurs. Such Christians also have to believe that disease and death were God's fault because they were part of what he created before Adam sinned. As you can see, whether or not Christians believe in evolution or biblical creation is a very important matter, because believing in evolution impugns the character, the perfection, and the power of God. I'll say that again. To believe in evolution impugns God's character, perfection, and power. If you believe that he created sickness and death before Adam sinned, it goes counter to the Bible completely. Now, Adam's sin brought about not only his death and Eve's death, it also subjected the entire world to death. And as a result of Adam's sin, the animals came to experience death, and our planet began to experience natural disasters. This is why God's ultimate plan involves the salvation, the restoration of our fallen world to its former perfection before sin entered the world. The entire plan of God involves his recreating the perfect world he started with at the end. Romans 8:21 says, "Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." Paul's referring to the end of the age. This is why we must interpret the first three chapters of Genesis literally. In these chapters, we see that the world was created perfect and sinless, with no death, no suffering, and Adam and Eve were free to eat from the tree of life. And they would have lived forever if they had not sinned. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. After they sinned, God drove them out so that they would not eat of the tree of life and live forever. But sin destroyed that perfection, and it brought death into the world. And God's plan from the beginning has been to restore this fallen and dying world to its original condition. We need to understand that. The gospel isn't just about us getting saved and going to heaven. If you read through the Bible to the end, God intends to restore creation to its original perfection. So Jesus' death and resurrection provided not only for our redemption and the salvation of our souls, it also provided for the salvation of a fallen planet on which we live. This is why Paul wrote of creation being liberated from its bondage to death and decay. This will happen when the Lord recreates our world, as described in 2 Peter 3:13 and Revelation 21, 1, 3, and 4, which say this: according to God's promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And John, in his vision, says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man on earth, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And when this happens, if you read in Revelation 2 and 22, which is Revelation 22, is the last chapter of the Bible. It's the chapter of the Bible that brings God's glorious plan to a close. You'll read in Revelation 2 and 22 that those who have been cleansed of their sin by faith in Jesus Christ will live forever on the restored new earth, not in heaven, on the restored new earth. And here is the point I want to make. Those two verses in Revelation say that they will be free to eat of the tree of life, just as Adam and Eve did. So you see, a literal interpretation of Genesis shows the amazing wisdom and grace that runs from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation. God has a plan, and that includes the restoration of this world, the ability to eat from the tree of life that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. It is all part of God's overarching plan. So no, we don't have to believe in six-day creation to be saved. And we don't have to believe the Bible talks about dinosaurs to be saved. And we don't have to believe in the worldwide flood of Noah's day to be saved. But if we want to honor the Bible as God's inspired and eternal truths, and not place more value on the opinions of men than on the Word of God, if we want to believe what Moses and the Apostle Paul wrote, what Jesus said, and if we want to have a faith that is theologically sound, a faith that's built on the understanding of the Gospels, the gospel of Christ as it pertains to the created world and the human soul, then we must believe and interpret the Genesis account of creation and the fall of man just as it is written, and not look to fallible scientists who deny the existence of God to tell us what is true. And it's my prayer that everyone here this morning will choose to accept the Bible as God's eternal and inspired truth, and that you will build your life of faith as a Christian on that truth, and not the opinions of men. Thank you.